Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We are so glad to be with you today. Everybody looks great. Everybody's happy. Amen. Two people are happy.
Amen.
Awesome. I am the missionary to Ireland, 17 years. So we'll say praise the Lord at top of the morning to you. Tell the person by you, top of the morning to you. Did you try your Irish accent? Did you try it? My wife says I sound dumb. I don't care. I'm just going to do it. We are honored. Thank you, Pastor Morris. Amen. And your wife and this sweet church. I'm so honored to be here with you today. I love what I feel. I'm excited about churches this size. There's something about this size of church. Amen. That is just exciting. I mean, this place is hopping, man. If I lived in Fairfield, Illinois, I'd be at this church.
Amen.
I'd be filled with this church. And I don't want to offend anybody. All churches are created equal. And when you feel what you feel in this house, you know that something's come together just right. You know what I'm saying? You can't deny what you're feeling. Amen. And that God is in this place in a very, very special way. And we're so thankful for that. Amen. Before I move forward, I have some important things to say, and that is I'm very honored to be with Brother and Sister Scotty Slayton and these great people of God, their sweet daughter Abigail. I'm so honored to be here. Wish my wife was here, Sister Slayton, and she is actually on her way. She left 5 o'clock this morning from Florida. Her sweet daddy's in 4-stage cancer. But we got a report yesterday. He's been in a lot of prayer all over the world. Been going up for him. And he's been in his chemo. They gave him a report yesterday. This is a miracle. We probably should have already lost him. And they gave him a PET scan. And the cancer is nearly completely gone. Only God can do that. I'm going to tell you. They thought they would push it out maybe a few months and give him life. And it looks like something's happening that medicine can't do. How many of you know Jesus is the healer? So I'm thankful for that. And it's an honor. Let me say, Brother Sister Slayton are tremendous people of faith. Amen. And have given their lives to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Slayton is our General Secretary of Global Missions. And some of you just knew don't know what that is, but he's a big shot. A big shot. And you pray for me. He's one of my bosses, and I got to do this thing right. I'm a little nervous up here. He's going to go back and get a report. Amen. But anyway, amen. It is great. This is a wonderful, wonderful man and woman of God. They give their life to this. You have no idea how much work these people do for the kingdom of God and for us missionaries. We are honored to have them at the head of the helm and leading and guiding and helping us to ministry. Missionaries all over the world. Amen. So we're honored. I can't wait to hear from him. I'm gonna say a couple of things. I'm gonna get out of the way. It's very rare, amen, that just one appointed missionary, we get this opportunity, amen, to be with him. So we're excited. But I'm excited to come to share quickly the great things that God is doing in Ireland. Before I do that, let me stay on my table very quickly. I'm sorry. If my wife was here, that would look so much better. But that's God didn't raise me up to be an interior decorator or whatever. Amen. There's a DVD back there. It looks like this. There's several programs on it. There is presentations about Ireland and all our churches and our people over there. You'll see testimonies from Irish and Asians and Africans. And we have a huge international community in there. Three great churches in 17 years. God has enabled us to start in Northern Ireland. That's outside Belfast. We started that church in 1998, my family and I moved over there. My wife, 3 small children, Shauna, Ashley, and Caleb. Amen. We lived through about 4 years of that war in Northern Ireland. Any of my kids were here, they'd tell you about car bombs and death threats and guys in black masks walking in the back of our church, threatening our lives. And the angels of the Lord literally appearing and driving them right out the door.
Right.
The angels of the Lord surround them. And God is ready to do extraordinary things. We live that book of Acts every day. And God's ready to do that, so we're thankful for all that He has done. So you'll see all that on this DVD, a tremendous presentation. You'll enjoy it. You can buy this. You can take it home. My testimony is on here from the Louisiana Men's Conference. One of our pastors, Brother Jerry Dean, had to give my testimony. I was a drug addict and alcoholic in my 20s. At 28 years old, I put a gun in my head and pulled the trigger. God has saved me from innumerable places. I literally was out of my mind. I lost my mind by 28 years old. Didn't even know who I was. My wife could tell you the story in a way that would blow your mind, what it was like in those days. And when I came back to God, out of a suicide attempt, literally, my wife found me, brought me to Indiana. I don't remember any of the trip, but with blood running down my head, the worst looking mess you've ever seen, I rolled in the altar at the Indiana camp where I grew up in this truth for 3 days and three nights. God completely restored my mind, delivered me from every drug and alcohol, and gave me a radical desire to do something for Him. This is what's so exciting about how God works. Hebrews 11, 6 says, they that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The greater it gets, the better it gets.
Yes.
Don't let anything inhibit you today from getting that much closer to God.
Yes.
How do I do that?
Yes.
Just like Jesus came and loved the world so much that He gave His own life. It's about just giving yourself away. We sing a song, I give myself away.
Right. Yes.
Just give yourself away. Because Jesus taught a principle that whatsoever man sows, that. Someone say that.
That.
Come on, shout it out. That. Shall he also reap? So when you give God of that, he multiplies it, gives it back to you. So whatever, when you come to God, come to this determination. I've taught my kids, God always gives His best to those who leave the choice with Him. Right? Just leave the choice with Him. Say, God, I am leaving the choice up to this point, God. I've tried to do maybe some things my own way, work it out. By the way, how's that worked out for you? But right now, God, I've come and make a whole new commitment to you. I'm putting everything on the altar now. And I'm giving everything to you. So we're thankful about that. You'll see this awesome cookbook back there. Recipes from across the pond. My sweet daughter, Ashley, it's our middle daughter. She's 25 now. And she is our domestic queen. She is a cooking machine. I mean, all our Irish folks over there love it. And this is a bunch of recipes that she put. Shepherd's pie and all these recipes. Irish stew. I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost up here. Hey, man, you will get the best Irish recipes you ever had. Great Irish stories that are in there. And these will be a blessing. Books and things. Why do we have these things? These help us with our projects of going evangelizing that great nation. Amen. And you can be a part of it. Amen. You want to know more about us, you'll get it back there on that information and things that you get that I won't be able to have time to share with you today. You can take it home. You'll know how to pray for us at another level. You'll get information. The more information you get about the kingdom of God and about missions, it allows you to pray at another level. Amen. So you're supposed to pray in the Spirit and with understanding. So the more I understand, the deeper I can pray. Educate yourself about the kingdom of God and about His mandate in this world, and that is go into all the world. Educate yourself. And God will bless you beyond what you could imagine. Amen. He'll do great things. Now let me say this final thing about my table. If you don't have cash today, I have technology. I got that little thing to put on your phone. I'm not real good at it yet. My son was real good. I scan your card, amen, and you can get whatever you want. Randomly, I hit too many zeros on it, but I don't want you to worry about that. I'm doing a lot better with it. Get better at it. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Amen. God will bless you. But in 19, after God restored us back, and we lived in Central Florida at the time, I had my own business. I came back with a burning desire. The Bible says, to whom much is forgiven, loveth much. Some of us have come up against things in life we never thought we would. I feel like it's usually the unexpected you can expect in life. people you thought they were your friends, situations that hurt and wounded you. You know, none of those things is God unaware of. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. He's not aware of it. And when God restored me back to my mind, I realized I had been given a second chance. And I just made up my mind, 28, 29, 30 years old in that area, I made up my mind that if the grace of God was so great that He could find somebody like me at the bottom of life, He could put me back in my right mind where I could be alive to enjoy life with my beautiful wife and these three wonderful children. I made up my mind, God, I'm going to live more radical for you than I ever did in the world. I'm not going to be a mediocre Christian, but I'm going to pray. We learned how to pray as a family. I got my two little girls, Shania, just little at the time. We got down an old antique chair in the living room. We played most simple prayers you ever heard in your life. We got rocking down there. Our prayers went to 2 to 3 hours a night. We read our Bibles way into the night. My Shauna just got married, Mama's daughter, last May to a Canadian. What's his name? I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Brother Mark Carey in Canada, a good friend of Brother Woodward's. He's a professional pilot. He's just an awesome young man. And they got married, and there was an antique chair that we had prayed on. It's really where a missionary, the heart of a missionary, was birthed out of this chair. You have an altar. You got to have an altar in your life. And we got down there and started praying just when we got back in church. And it went places, folks, we never dreamed of. And the stories we have on that big antique chair. And when my daughter got married, she said, Dad, just over here in Evansville, Indiana, she said, Dad, she said, we got to find that old chair. No, it's in storage. I said, baby, I haven't seen that chair 16, 17 years. She said, I don't care. So me and her, my son and a couple of sweet, finally found that chair. I'm going to tell you something. I got up there in that attic in her aunt's house there, and it had a blanket over it. And I approached that chair, kind of low attic. When I pulled that sheet back, man, something went down my spine. Hallelujah. And man, I mean the Holy Ghost, and then all of a sudden they heard me weeping back in there. Shauna said, Dad, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah. We pulled that chair out. She put it up on the platform before I did their vows. She wrote something. She said,
Hallelujah.
She said, I wonder why this chair is up here.
Hallelujah.
She said, and I was a little girl. She said, I watched a dad that used to be a drug addict and alcoholic get out and pray. She said, late one night, after we prayed my dad, she said, I heard a moaning coming up the stairs there in our home in Florida. She said, it scared me at first that something get a hold of my heart. She said, tiptoe down the step, turned the corner, and she said, I looked at my dad, he had that arms around the back of that chair. He was literally hugging it. He had it up on its front legs. He was rocking it. He said, but there's something that was erupting out of his spirit. There's something coming out of him. It was a sound I've never heard before, and I realized that God was doing something. She said, I gently waited and I touched him. She said, Dad, I turned with a face full of tears. She said, can you teach me to pray like that?
Oh, hallelujah.
I said, yeah, baby, I'm not sure how I'm doing it. Get out of here. She got down there next to me, got a little box of Kleenexes. Dad had his box of Kleenex. We got down there, got rocking in the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't you know it? Amen. About 20 minutes later, down comes little Ashley. She's 8 years old. And we felt her get in there beside us. And we got rocking. And that's where we spent every night for 2 hours. We just fallen in love with Jesus. We weren't trying to be missionaries. We weren't trying to. We got down there, folks. Let me tell you, you can have more of an experience right there in your living room, right there in your bedroom, than you probably ever dreamed possible with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I tell you, we learned to intercede. That served us well. We were living at 400-year-old cobblestone moldy farmhouse, having services in the old thatch roof, cobblestone barn, rats running around our feet, bombs going off outside, didn't know another soul in the whole country, homesick kids, but we had learned how to pray.
Right.
We'd get out on the streets and preach, they'd throw eggs on our face, knock us down. I'd grab my girls, throw them in the car, and we'd get them back up the house, and they'd just laugh, make big joke about all of it. I was more upset than they were. One time, Shauna said, had eggs on her face. She said, Dad, those men don't know, but they're just egging us on. That's old dairy farm, I'm sure. There wasn't a lot of those down to the ranch. We found an old farmhouse, and they had egged us and everything, and I was so upset, man. I said, we can't come to this area anymore. Since when a lot of bombs were going off still in the Ireland, it was just rough, you know, and there wasn't nobody come help us. There wasn't another church to call. My kids didn't grow up with stories about youth groups and camp meetings and everything. They was teaching Sunday school, and they were just kids themselves. And they you know how girls are with their dad. They want to do everything with their dad. Against my better judgment, I took them out that first time. Man, I could not have been in a worse place. I mean, I set up our little portable PA at the gates of hell. Paramilitaries come piling out of the pub and came around and started throwing stuff at us. And I scooped the girls up. I got stuff on my face. And I threw in the back of the car, and I jump in the car. And I'm like, where is the steering wheel? It's on the other side. Forgot about that. Jumped out driving on the wrong side of the road. They drive on the left side. It got interesting, and they're throwing stuff at the car. I'm like, God, don't let a petrol bomb come through this window. I got wet Kirby Road back up there with that old farmhouse walking in the door. My wife, what happened? How did it go? I said, oh, very successfully. They're just going to love us in this community. I tell you, we're going to start a great church here. I'm so mad. I walked out in that old barn where we started having church. I took a piece of luggage, threw it across the barn, and said, God, when would you allow that to happen? You know, and the devil loves to get us to overreact. And I finally came in, thought I better go in there and kind of comfort my girl, walked in the door. There's an old dairy farm next door. This farmer would let us come and get all the milk we wanted, fresh dairy milk and eggs. That's how we made it a lot of time, especially 8 years on the AIM program. And I walked in the back door. I was upset. I'm telling you, I thought, how are you going to love people who don't know how to love you back? And I walked in the back door. This is what I heard from Ashley in the kitchen, the domestic queen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. You know, I thought they were going to be upset. Just I came in that back door and I looked at Ashley. She said, oh, there you are, Dad. I wonder where he was. I looked. Aren't you okay, baby? She said, yeah. She said, we didn't need food in the old refrigerator. So I went next door to Kim's and I got these eggs. She got this little apron her grandma made her. She went over there and got all these eggs in it. She said, so I'm going to fix us some omelets. She's got eggshells still hanging on her hair and stuff. Shauna went up to clean up, you know, and she got the eggs out. And she said, man, Dad, that was fun, wasn't it? Fun? When you kill somebody, what do you mean fun? She took an egg and she's cracking it, you know, and cracks into the skillet. And she said, Dad, look. The Bible tells us to take the yoke upon us. You know, I'm out there having a fit with God about this little thing we just went through. Like we're not supposed to go through nothing. Like we're not supposed to go through anything. And you know, I laughed my head off, and then the revelation hit me. Like, if the devil can't scare an American homesick little 8-year-old girl, what's your problem? Hello. And I said, woo, God. I forgot I taught him how to pray, Sister Slade. I forgot. Amen. Shauna come down a minute later just laughing her head off and tell him about they just egging us on. And what's so great about that story, and I'm coming to close, is it was tough. That was 1998, right in that time. It was the worst bombs went off in 1998 of over 30 years of Northern Irish history, the battle between the Catholics and Protestants. And we was coming right back through that community, went to a little market there. They didn't have grocery stores in those days. They didn't have fast food restaurants. It was a war zone, church. It was a war zone. And we come back through there, and there's this little wee fella out there preaching where we had been. And I was in the roundabout there, you know, and I'm coming in the queue there, and I'm watching him, and he's getting stuff thrown at him. One guy came and knocked him down. His little handwritten tracts went all over the place. One guy kicked this old speaker he had rigged up there. It's like it never even fazed him. He'd go get it, pick himself back up. Finally got close enough I could hear this little speaker. when they would want his track up, throw it in his face or something, he'd say, "Oh, don't be worried about that, boy. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you." I said, "Something's going on here." And I got right level with him in my car, and something quickened my spirit. And God let me know this is a solid divine connection. And I pulled the car with my wife. I said, "What are you doing? We don't need to stay in this area. You know, bombs go up here." And I said, "No, God's getting ready to do something here." I said, "Lock the door behind me." I started approaching him. I walked down the sidewalk there in that market area. And as I started approaching him, he stopped. He spun over and he looked at me and he said, "Ah," he said, "there you are, boy." He said, "I was wondering when he's going to be coming." And Donnelly was talking to me, and I was coming through the crowd. As I got approached, his eyes got bigger. And I said, "I just noticed you out here preaching. My name's Terry McFarland." And he said, "Oh, I know who you are." He said, "Hey, by the way, you look just like the vision."
Oh,
Lord.
I said, "The vision?
Come to us, Lord."
I said, he said, "The Lord gave me a vision 3 weeks ago that an American preacher would come and bring me the whole truth." He said, "You are." Got his wife and his two little daughters, brought them up their old farmhouse, opened up my Servitude Bible study, and showed them a more perfect way.
Hallelujah.
Baptized them in our bathtub. He helped me fill up the barn. 3 weeks later, we found a storefront building. We filled it up. One day he come, got me. This was all in the same year we moved there on the AIM program. He come, got me one day. We went down to this old, big, 3-acre property, goats out front, big, long, 100-foot barn shed thing at the end of it. I didn't know what we were doing there. He drove down there and he said, "This is a friend of mine. I've known him for a number of years." I said, "Okay, good, man. Let's witness." He said, "No, something else is going on." I said, "Oh, you know, the Irish, they're very bold. Any Irish in here? We're good to go." Hallelujah. He walked up this elderly fellow and he said, "Greg Jordy," he said, "this is the Reverend McFarland. You teamed up to do the work of the Lord." And he said, "The Lord spoke to me last night. You know, you're getting up in years a bit. You need to be moving on. We need this place for the work of God." The guy never said a word, turned around and went in the house. I thought, he's going to go get a shotgun and move us on. He come out with his wine tears rolling down his face. He said, "The Lord spoke to him last night that we was two men was going to be coming, and that they needed to release that place for the work of God."
Oh,
and I'm going to tell you, that today is United Pentecostal Church of Northern Ireland. Brother Anthony Mann brought his choir, dedicated it, and it's now our headquarters church for Brother Joaquin Coon, and will be pastoring in the next couple of weeks. Only God can do that. And today, now, 250 Pentecostals have done multiple nationalities out there. Ireland is on fire. And you can be part of that today, of what God is doing all over the world, and be part of that harvest. Let's give God some great praise today. Come on, let's shout, and let's make a commitment for the rest of the service. I'm buying into it. You believe in me, God, when nobody else would. And I believe it in you. He that cometh to God must believe that in you. Coming here to trust you in Jesus' name. Would you say praise the Lord? You can be seated for just a moment, and I'm not going to read a scripture. I'm going to just be a little different today. One of the exciting things about my job is not handling the money. Amen. I handle a lot of money, but that's not the exciting part of my job. The exciting part of my job is I get all the missionaries' newsletters. I get all the stuff that they don't even put out in newsletters. I get all the stuff they write and send to us. I either get a direct copy or I get copied on stuff. And it is exciting what God is doing in the world today. It would literally blow your mind. And we could sit here all afternoon. We could sit here till the evening and into tomorrow with stories like Brother McFarland just told you. This is happening all over the world. It's happening. You're not going to hear much about it, but it's happening in the Muslim nations as well. We have works that are opening up. We have conversions that are taking place. We're baptizing Muslim imams. We're baptizing Hindu priests. We're baptizing Buddhist priests. We're baptizing
in the swimming pools to bath tubs. We're using inflatable little kiddie pools. We're baptizing them in rivers and lakes wherever there is a move of God, a sovereign move of God that is taking place around the world. And the exciting thing is we get to be a part of that. And here's what we have to understand. God has a church. God has a church. And it's not a dead church. It's not an old, decrepit, feeble church. It's not a church that's using a walker or a cane or a wheelchair. It is a mighty, strong, powerful, vibrant, alive church. His church is in the Bible. His body is his church. And it's growing and it's expanding. And he's coming back for a church that's on fire. He's coming back for a church that's growing. Here's the question you have to ask yourself. Do you want to be a part of God's church? Because there is a church, and it's a powerful church. We can choose to sit on the sidelines. We can choose to just sit and watch it and see what happens. Or we can say, God, thank you for letting me be a part of that. Thank you, God, for letting me get in on that. This is the greatest and best opportunity of your time, of your ability, of your finance, of everything you can invest in the kingdom of God. Maybe about a year and a half ago, I started waking up and feeling like an apprehension and feeling almost a fear. I don't do fear. I don't really get scared of stuff. I'm not a worry person. I'm not a I lived in El Salvador in Civil War. I've been in the middle of shootouts. I've had to hide behind trees and behind curbs and everything else you could get, and jump behind cars and bombs going off. I lived through all of that. I understand what you're talking about, Brother McFarland. But I would wake up in the middle of the night, but the worst I feel like fear just, and I would pray, and I'm thinking, I'm a man of God. I'm going to pray and fix this. And as men, we want to fix stuff. And if we can't fix it, we blow it up and break it. I can't fix it, I'm going to shoot it. Or I'm going to hammer it, something's going to happen. I was waking up and I was feeling this and I didn't know, and I felt like something was attacking me and something was coming against me, and I just felt, if I would know what it is, I could fight it. If I knew where it was coming from, I could prepare for it. But I didn't know if it's coming from the side of me, behind me, above me, beneath. I couldn't figure this out. And I prayed and prayed, and I didn't get an answer. And that made me mad. I should be getting answers. I'm praying. I'm a man of God. I'm serving God. I'm living for God. And God's not answering me. So in one of the most spiritual moments of my life, I was taking the trash out. I'm taking the garbage around the back and over to the garbage bin. And God just spoke to me. I wasn't even thinking about God. I was taking the nasty trash out. And God just says, there is an attack against you. So I'm waiting for, okay, where is it? Who is it? What? And all he said was, there's an attack against you. But I'm keeping you from it. Because people are praying. We don't know what our prayers are doing. You don't know that you were praying somewhere. You don't know that you were in church somewhere and God put a burden on you. Or you're at home someday or some evening and you're going to drink the coffee in the morning and you feel the Holy Ghost. And you say, God, about. I don't know who I'm praying for, but I feel an intercession. I feel the need to pray, to go just beyond, thank you, Lord, and touch and bless. But you prayed and you interceded. And maybe it was for Brother McFarland. Maybe it was for his family. Maybe it was so that God would protect his children and not let them become bitter toward the things of God. Listen, what we're doing, we never know what it's going to affect. We don't know when we give of ourselves to God. Today is giving us the most incredible opportunity his discourse with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, Lord, I want to understand and know. Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, how can I be born again? I'm grown and I can't go back in my mother. And what's going to happen? He said, that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. And you know the story. You must be born of the water of the Spirit. And Jesus says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Right.
And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Yeah.
Your pastor mentioned it when he started service this morning. This is not a physical battle. This is not the battle of the strongest physically, of the fastest, of the most wealthy. This is a spiritual endeavor that we are engaged in. This church will grow because of our spiritual warfare. We will grow as Christians because of our spiritual acumen, because of what we do in the Spirit. We've got to understand this isn't going to happen because of who we are. This isn't going to happen because of our or where we come from. This isn't going to happen because we're this or because we're that. This is going to happen when we find a place, when we find a chair, when we find somewhere to get along with God, when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen because of the wealth we have or the properties that we own. It's going to happen when we get to a place with God. The flesh can deal with the flesh, but the Spirit is going to conquer the Spirit. The Spirit is going to make the Spirit expand. It's only through the Spirit realm. It's only when we do it through the Spirit of God that we can accomplish the mission of God. I want to ask you today, what kind of burden do you have for souls? What kind of burden do you have? Is this some physical thing with you? Is this some fleshly thing with you? Is this just something that you think you have your own ability to do? Or is this something you realize, oh God, I can't do this. I cannot do this by myself. I can't pray by myself. I can't give by myself. I can't study by myself. It has to be the Spirit. We are fighting a spiritual battle. There are places, there are nations we cannot go. There are countries we cannot get into. They will not allow us. In some places we send missionaries and we don't send them as quote unquote missionaries.
Right.
But we send them under other auspices. And there's places that we can't even send them to.
Right.
But we send other people in and we do things. But we do everything we can do. And we manage and we administrate and we try to get it all done. But that's not where it really happens. That's just doing what we can do. Where it really happens is right here. Most it's right here on Sunday morning when somebody feels the hand of God upon their life in a spiritual way. Not just because the preacher's talking, not just because a story was mentioned, but the Spirit of God begins to move and somebody feels something on the inside of them, maybe in a way they've never thought before, maybe to a depth they've never thought before. Something on the inside is happening to them. It starts right here on a Sunday morning. It starts on a Monday when you're at work and you feel the Spirit of God. It starts when you find your time alone in prayer with Jesus Christ. This is where it starts. The reason things are happening in Ireland, the reason things are happening that you may not be aware of in China and in Iraq and in Iran, the reason there's revival in the United Arab Emirates, in Dubai, the reason that there's revival in Lebanon and Egypt. Your hands. I want you to just take a moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the presence of God do a work right now. If you're feeling something from God, I want you to release that right now. I want you to surrender to that right now. It's not the flesh. It's not your ability. Neither is it your inability. It's your willingness to be.
talks of the fall of Babylon. And it says the merchants of the earth stood afar off and they wept. Because the people would no longer buy their merchandise. He goes through the list of all the stuff, and the last thing he mentions is the souls of men. Gold and spices and silver and precious stones and ivory and precious carved wood and slaves and horses and beasts and cattle, everything. The souls of men. Those people were weeping, and they were moved by what they saw. But they were moved because their income was taken away.
That's right.
They were moved because their system was destroyed.
Right.
I don't want to be moved by that. I want it to be a carnal, fleshly thing. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. For 3 years, I cease not to warn, day and night, with tears. For 3 years, I prayed and I wept. I interceded,
yes,
and I warned,
right,
and I preached the word of God. Paul was weeping. When he departed from the elders, he wept. And he said, I'll never see you again. I realize, and I'm leaving here, and we're never going to see each other again. And we understand that. And they wept, and we understand that story, the human element there. But I want my weeping to be for souls. I want my intercession to be for humanity. I want my burden to be born in the spirit. I don't want it to be born in the flesh. I don't want it to be just some humanitarian thing I'm doing to make me feel good. I don't do what I do just to soothe my conscience. I don't live the way that I live just so that I feel good about myself. I don't give to the kingdom of God just to say, look what I'm doing. I've done my part. I do what I do because I believe in it, because I'm given to it, because I'm sold out for it. My life, my family, my ministry, the will of God for the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's Secretary of Global Missions. It doesn't matter if it's go start a church somewhere. It doesn't matter if it's go back overseas. The will of God, because I believe in it, because I want to weep. I want to pray for souls in the Spirit. I want you to stand. I know this is Mission Sunday and Faith Promise and all that good stuff. Your pastor mentioned that, and I will just say this. Just a moment. You can fill out the cards. But understand what I'm going to say. We're not just interested in the cards. God's not just interested in you filling out a card. That's not what this is about. If that's what you think it's about, we really have missed the point. And we've not explained it well enough. That is not what this is about. It's not about filling out a card and giving a number. This is about being sold out to the cause of Jesus Christ. This is about partnering alongside and investing in the family that's willing to go overseas. I saw people come over and they said, I'd love to be a missionary here. Because all they saw was the crusade where 4,000 people received the Holy Ghost. They just saw us baptize 20 people in the local church on Sunday. And they want to do that. Who doesn't want to do that? Some of them came back, they didn't last a month. Gone. Can't take it. Can't handle it. Because it's not always the revival. It's not always just the big crusade. It's not always just... There's a lot of work. There's a lot of planting. There's a lot of sowing. There's a lot of tilling the ground and watering and work and just pulling out the weeds and the stuff that needs to be done to see that harvest come to pass. We honor our missionaries. We honor their sacrifice and what they do. And God allows us to be a part of that.
Jesus.
Understand me. I'm the Secretary of Global Missions. I handle all the money. I get all that stuff. He says, I'm a big shot. I'm not a big shot. This missionary is no more important to God
than the young person in this church that gives
right.
$15 a month to Faith Promise. With God, it's the same. It's not, oh, this is better. No, 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 no. We are laborers together.
That's right.
So just a few moments. You can fill out your card. What you're going to give by faith. And you may fill it out and you can turn it in this morning or turn it in tonight, whatever. And back tonight, bring your card. And bring a friend. But you're going to fill that out with what you can do by faith. As Brother Morse mentioned earlier, it's not just about what I have left over to give. I'm, by faith, I believe God is going to provide this. Because this is not a fleshly thing. This is not a carnal thing. This is not just something of, I can do this in my human ability. This is, I believe God is going to provide this for me to give to missions. It's fascinated me for years. And I know there's a big Noah movie that just came out. And I know there's controversy about that, whatever. But Noah actually took 7 of every clean beast. Not 2. The reason he did, the reason God spared him and saved him, was so that right after the disaster, right after the flood, right after the danger and all that happened, take those animals, put them on an altar, and sacrifice them for me. But God, you saved them from destruction. Yes, I did. But Lord, you kept them in the ark from the storm. Yes, I did. But God, when everything else was destroyed, you called them out and you protected them. Yes, I did. But I protected them because I wanted them for me. And God has saved you. And God has brought you inside the ark, the church. God has you in the church. He's taken you from the world. He's brought you to a place of safety. He's brought you to a place where you can be saved. Church. His body. But He brought you here so that you would be used in His kingdom. And Lord, I give myself away. I give myself away. I place myself on the altar. Not just my spare time. Not just my spare change. Not just if I have a minute, God, I'll pray today. Not just, Lord, you know, after I'm done watching my favorite shows and listening to my favorite programs and reading my favorite book, you know, I'm just too tired to read a chapter. No, Lord, I give you the best of my time. I give you the best of my finances. I give you the best of my abilities. I give you, God, everything that I am. Because I want to live in the Spirit. I don't want to be motivated by the flesh. I want to be motivated by carnality. I want to be moved by the Spirit. And God, I want to follow your Spirit. So I want us, if you would, I want us to pray. And as we pray, I want a couple of things to happen. I can't really orchestrate it because it's going to be different for everyone. I'm not going to try to tell you what you have to do. I want the Spirit of God to move and talk to us as it has throughout this service. From the very beginning, from in that room, we felt it. And it didn't happen because a few of us got together before and said this is going to happen. It happened because people were praying for this service yesterday, the day before, a week before. Amen. So what I want to happen is this. Just a couple moments here, we're going to pray. And I want you to pray about what God is going to have you to commit to Faith Promise. We're not going to come knocking on your door every month. Well, you didn't give it. You gave too much. Where's your money? We're not going to send you a bill. That's not how it works. It's what you and God are saying. This is what we can give to the kingdom of God. And as you make that commitment, I want you to also make a greater commitment. And I'm not saying you're not dedicated to God, but I have to keep placing myself on the altar daily. I've got to renew every day, God, I've got to be on your altar.
Yes.
Oh, Brother Slayton, you've been a missionary. You're an executive at headquarters, and you're a minister, and you've been a pastor. And every day, God, I've got to renew myself in you.
Yes.
I can't let it go. I can't just cruise control. So what I'm not saying you're not living for God or you're not loving God. I'm wanting you to renew that today. I'm wanting you to renew today, God. I place myself on your altar. So could we lift our hands? Let's begin to pray. And as you feel the Lord leading you to what you're going to give, you can fill out your card. You can bring your cards and just put them up here, turn them face down. Nobody needs to see what you're giving. It's not a contest. But you can come place it up here by the pulpit. And I want you to find a place to pray. And I want you just to let it be your prayer. Lord, I give myself away. I give it all away. Because I want to be born of the Spirit. And I want to live in the Spirit. And I want to walk in the Spirit. Let's worship God. And let's pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Y lo bosho, lo bosho, lo bosho, la bajito, la bosa, la bajito.